Grace and peace to all, and welcome to chapel today. Gosh, that was great, Carolyn. I just want to stop. What a great prelude and way to get us into worship. Thank you so much, Carolyn Keller, for providing our service music. Thanks to Megan Byrne, is going to be my intern and Presbyterian scholar extraordinaire, leading us in liturgy today. Of course, Nick Sargis. Thank you, Nick, for all you do. On the back, you'll see what's happening in religious and spiritual life this week. Obviously, it's a little shorter list because we are moving into fall break, and we're all very excited about that, right? And so, yes, we're doing a little dance. It's almost fall break. So the list is a little shorter. Also, because we'll be on fall break, we will not have chapel service next Monday. But we'll come back with a bang, I'm sure. Want to let you know about the Crop Hunger Walk, that you have the date of the walk itself on the back of the bulletin, Sunday, November 2nd. But tonight we're having an informational meeting about the Crop Walk in the Huff Center Concourse at 5:30 with free pizza. So if you would like to come and learn about the walk or send a representative from your church or a group or a team, come and find out more about how we can help hungry people all around the world and also here locally through the Jameson Center. So I was going to acknowledge Craig Schmidt. Do you know if he's coming? I think he's coming to chapel. He might slip in late, but I wanted to say something to Craig, and maybe I'll just work it into my sermon if he slips in later. But Craig is a senior development officer who's departing to work with the FFA, and I have really appreciated Craig's work for us, and he's raised a lot of money for religious and spiritual life in the Lux Center for Church and Religious Leadership. So I wanted to say Godspeed to Craig. So Gina, just tell him that I made a thing of it. And then one just final personal announcement before we begin worship. I also wanted to wish my husband a happy anniversary. 13 years. We could do this because both of us are very good. We both always forget. And it's really good because both of us always forget. But Dan, my gift to you today is that you don't have to lead any part of chapel today. You just get to sit and enjoy and listen. So happy anniversary, honey. But now let's open our hearts and our minds to the presence of God in this place.
Please join me in the call to worship. If you come in uncertainty or in confusion, in anger or in anguish, this time is for us. If you come in silent suffering or hidden sorrow, in pain or promise, this time is for us. If you come for your own or another's need, for a private wound or the wound of the world, this time is for us. If you come and do not know why, to be here is enough. This time is for us all. Come now, Christ of the forgiving warmth. Come now, Christ of the yearning tears. Come now, Christ of the transforming touch. This time is for you. Please remain standing to sing hymn number 611, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee.
Thank you.
be seated. Gosh, I feel joyful now. That was good. I invite you to join me in a word of prayer. Open my eyes, holy God, that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine. And I also pray that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my mind, and the feelings of all of our hearts gathered here today are acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our scripture reading today comes from Philippians, Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. Let us listen to God's holy word to us today. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. I've recently discovered the words of Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel, a man who, in spite of losing his family, his mother and his three sisters were all murdered by the Nazis, maintained a sense of optimism about this world and about God's presence within it. Heschel is all for honestly naming the agonies of our humanity, though. He chastises preachers whose sermons are intermissions from life, full of platitudes and niceties and reassurance that everything's gonna be okay all the time. Think Joel Osteen, the smiling, happy, mega preacher who also just happens to be mega rich. Yeah, seriously, I really wish people would stop putting Joel Osteen quotes on my Facebook feed. We need to stop that. It's disturbing. Heschel suggests that sermons should recognize the anguish in people's lives. That's what religion is for, he says, for recognizing our human agonies. So taking this advice to heart, let me recognize some human agony, beginning with my own. So a couple of weeks ago, I experienced a day or two during which I was feeling very emotionally raw. Depression sneaks up on me every once in a while, and the speed with which it sends me spiraling down is oftentimes terrifying. And there's no real explanation for my downward spiral, honestly. It just happens, and it happens fast. And when I'm in that dark, depressed place, I become really sensitized to the suffering around me. So a couple of weeks ago, and I'm in this raw, emotional place, watching a movie with Dan called 12 Years a Slave. Yeah, the movie won an Oscar, but it tells a terrible, violent story of a free black man named Samuel Northrup, who's abducted from his home and his family and sold into slavery. I couldn't finish the movie. I quit it early and went to bed because I just couldn't bear to consider how human beings could treat other human beings so cruelly. And then there was all this stuff in the news that was haunting me. I kept picturing young men in orange jumpsuits kneeling before their hooded executioners. And I kept seeing bombs dropped on villages from the safety of high-flying airplanes or drones controlled by the click of a computer mouse. And I kept thinking about the death by suicide of one of my favorite comedians, Robin Williams, about the depression that led him there, and about the wife and the children that he left behind. Damn, I was feeling raw from all this suffering. It was during this time that I started to turn to the text for today's chapel service, and I read Paul's words to the Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. I don't know that I have ever read scripture that felt more wrong than these words from Philippians 4. They felt like an intermission to me, like someone telling me in the midst of a dark moment, oh, don't worry, honey. God doesn't give you more than you can handle. So just rejoice. Rejoice. Again, rejoice. I mean, come on, Paul. Let's get a clue and let's name some human agony. Now, I know I'm not the only one who has been put off by this passage. Our professor of creative writing here at the college, David Wright, has written an extraordinary poem on Philippians 4 that begins like this. I am the one, David writes, who has not rejoiced always, and again, I will say, is not rejoicing. Hardly ever my gentleness is known, even to me, and not certainly to my children. Strangers report to have seen it on Tuesday in the library. I do not confirm this sighting. So I think this is actually the first time I've ever chosen a text to preach on because it felt so wrong rather than so right. I guess I did so because I wanted you to know of my reaction, that sometimes scripture doesn't hit a home run, and that's okay. Knowing more about the context of Paul's words here helps, though. Paul is writing from prison. He's in a bad place himself, and his words are meant to encourage those who are also in a bad place. The church in Philippi was facing some problems, persecution by non-Christian authorities, as well as other opponents who believed differently than they did. So Paul was writing to reassure these Christians that even when we face such difficulties, even when life gets very dark, reasons can always be found to rejoice. Which I guess is true, but not always helpful, especially when you're feeling particularly crappy. Yeah, we're skipping all the platitudes in today's sermon. Heschel helps me more, honestly. In reading about his life, I've fallen in love with this rabbi's extraordinary soul. His daughter, Susanna, writes about how, in spite of losing his family in the war and experiencing the worst atrocities of human suffering, her father was never depressed, never moody or withdrawn or melancholy. Susanna Heschel writes, "Our family home was filled with laughter and jokes and playfulness. My father knew how to celebrate. My parents would share a box of special crackers and a bottle of beer to mark a special occasion. We would buy a cupcake and light a birthday candle on top to celebrate the publication of his latest book. All it took was the right spirit, and my father could transform mundane crackers into a gourmet experience." Heschel's right spirit certainly came from his faith in God, a God who he believed was always present. Even in the face of horrific suffering, when others were asking, "Where is God?" or "How could a good God allow so much evil?" By contrast, Abraham Joshua Heschel was asking, "How can God continue to have faith in humanity given the wickedness we commit?" God may be hidden in the face of suffering, Heschel admits, but it is human beings who conceal God. God is, in fact, waiting to be disclosed, waiting to be admitted into our lives. God is always present, Heschel said, and waiting for us to allow God to enter. And when we do, when we allow God to enter our lives, our presence, our world, in these moments, heaven and earth kiss each other, writes Rabbi Heschel. So when I think about my life in this way, when I think about God being present with me, never giving up on me, remaining faithful to me, even when I am not particularly faithful to him or her, then, well, I kind of feel like rejoicing. Again, I say, rejoice. And ultimately, this is Paul's point too. I can grant him that. Because God is always with us, even in the midst of suffering, we can rejoice. So I think the next time I feel emotionally raw or depressed or feel myself spiraling down under the weight of all the world's suffering, I think I'm going to go find Dan, crack open a bottle of beer, and share a package of crackers to remind myself that we can still celebrate because God is still with us. In spite of the atrocities we human beings commit and the ways we fail to let God in, God is with us still. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. And now to the God who prompts this joy, be all honor and glory, thanksgiving and power, now and forevermore. Amen. Our special music today needs a little introduction. I found a new artist, Latifah Phillips, who sings with a band that is taking old hymns and modernizing them. And the song that I wanted to play for you, because it completely fit my message today, is a song called Joy. And you need to know that Latifah wrote this song, pulled up to the piano right after her father died of cancer. And this is how she musically worked through that moment. And I think it's a beautiful musical expression of the ups and downs of faith, and yet God's persistent presence through it all. Okay, Nick.
I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. And I'm so happy, so happy, so very happy. And I'm so happy, so happy, so very happy. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart.
Please join me in the prayers of the people. Eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, whose face is hidden from us by our sins, and whose mercy we forget in the blindness of our hearts, cleanse us, deliver us, and renew us so we may draw near to you, confessing our faults, confiding in your grace, and finding in you our refuge and strength. Rejoicing in your good grace, we pause now to lift up our prayers of thanksgiving. Especially we thank you for remembering us and loving us, even when we forget. The guidance of your Spirit through this day. Signs of new life and hope. Knowledge of you through word and worship. And the relationships to which you call us. Merciful God, as we venture out into this day and this world, we lift our needs and the needs of others up to you in prayer. Confident of your care for us, we pray especially for those who weep with grief, those who cannot rejoice, those who feel lonely and forgotten, those who have forgotten you, and those who are in need of love, acceptance, and grace. Creator God, accept these prayers of your people. Strengthen and renew us for the week that lies ahead. And look with compassion on all who turn to you for help and hope. For you are gracious and merciful and full of love for all people. Now as a community bound together by this college, hear us as we pray the prayer Jesus taught us to pray by saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now let us stand and sing our final hymn, number 661, Why Should I Feel Discouraged?
Thank you.
Now may we leave this chapel today thankful for the opportunity to worship together as a community. And I pray that this service carries you through the week, through fall break, until we can meet again. And now may the grace, hope, peace, and love of God, our Creator, God, our Redeemer, and God, our Sustainer, be with us all now and forevermore. Amen. Go in peace, everyone.